What is up, Steelers Nation? Thank you so much for jumping on to another episode of the Steelers Collective. I'm Noah Strackbine, joined always by Mark Caboli and Ray Fittipaldo. Find us on youtube.com/Steelers Collective. Check us out anywhere you get your podcast. Today, we're diving into the next extension for the Pittsburgh Steelers and why a surprise name may be the one to watch. Alex Highsmith was the talk of the town last week, and maybe we jumped the gun collectively on what was going on there. Maybe the Steelers were lying. Maybe they weren't. Yes, point at me all day. And
I'm at the point of Ray. Should he come clean right now? Give us the whole scoop, Ray. Behind the scenes.
I can't give you a whole scoop.
You did break the news on Alex Highsmith, though, and how he was not in attendance on, what was that, Thursday? Last Thursday for the Pittsburgh Steelers?
The day after Herbig signed. So, yes.
Last Wednesday. He was there on Monday, but obviously the pot got stirred a little bit. People freaked out, and it brought up a ton of conversation with Alex Highsmith. I want you, obviously, like, you could kind of take us through your thoughts since you were the one that put that story out. As Alex didn't show up, and then maybe as Alex did show up after his, you know, tummy felt better.
Everybody came here to hear you, Ray. Come on, give them what they're what they're looking for.
Yeah. So Alex did not. He was not at practice last Wednesday, and the way it works with the Steelers, if you attend practice, you cannot report what you see until you confirm it 2 hours later. So. You know, I did not go to practice that day. I went and did a little reporting and found out that he was not at practice. So I was able to write that before the rest of the group. Steelers say he was sick. We still haven't heard from Alex, have we, about exactly how he feels about this situation or, you know, what exactly is going on there. But I still feel like, guys, it's going to be a topic. Going into training camp, there is no way that you could tell me that Alex and his reps are comfortable going into the 2026 season with him being paid $6.5 million less per season than his backup. There's just no way that's going to be kosher with them. I don't know what's going to happen. We could talk about, you know, what might happen in training camp, hold in, all that other stuff, but there is no way that they could be happy about what's going on there. That's all I'll say about it.
There was a player that I overheard at practice say, this was post-practice. So everything's straightforward. Say, I don't believe in coincidences, and I don't know if I do either. You know, Alex Highsmith is both the last person I would ever expect in that locker room to cause issues, and at the same time, the last person that I would expect a stomach ache to hold out of practice even during OTAs. I think he checks both boxes, but you're spot on. And you said it last week, Ray. You said, you know, I would predict Alex Highsmith would be the guy to get moved if anybody got moved, and that you kind of felt like there could be another stone to drop here. I don't think I believed you at the time. Where we sit here today, I feel like I believe you a little bit more. Caboli, do you believe him at all? Do you believe that at all? I don't want to say
Well, they were claiming that it was a stomach bug, and those stomach bugs sometimes are very, you can pass them around, right? So I saw him leave that day. I mean, I didn't say, hey, Alex, where are you going? Or are you sick? And, you know, you're going to find some toilet paper, nothing like that, you know. But what are his options? Here's two, I got two parts of this, really. He doesn't really have any options, honestly. I mean, he's 2 years away from an extension or past this year. So we know the Steelers are not going to make an exception for him. They made an exception for Cam Hayward, but really, did they? They just gave him money that he wasn't going to – bonus money that he wasn't going to reach anyways. They did it to Antonio Brown a decade ago because he was Antonio Brown. They do it to quarterback. So he's pretty much hamstrung where he's at. But for if he – say everything checks out and he is unhappy, right? He leaves during that one day just to get that message out there. The team comes in and says, nope, he just had the craps. Nope, he's fine. They guarantee put his picture up on their website where we weren't available yesterday, or what day was it? Monday.
Monday.
The show, he was here. Then today, on Tuesday, he's not there anymore. Puts the out there in the atmosphere that maybe he isn't happy. But I, like you said, though, there's no way I can see him holding in, holding out. It's just not that guy's makeup. If it does, I would be stunned.
Is there any way around it? Like, I agree with you, Mark. There's no way. The Steelers are not going to look at Alex and say, like, yeah, we're going to give you a contract extension too, while trying to figure out Joey and Keanu Benton, and we only have $3 million to spend. But don't worry, we'll figure it out. No, they're going to tell Alex, look, dude, next year we'll talk. Next year we'll have conversations. But it's just a matter of Alex. Like, what is – I think that's the bigger conversation, is, like, what does Alex side do? Because he could hold in, but it's not going to work. Does he ask for a trade?
Well, here's the deal with Alex especially. Like, people bring up, and I do it all the time, he is a great guy. And he might not, like, have that in him to maybe take a hard line. But in the end, it's business. And there's all kinds of nice guys throughout the history of sports who had really tough and hard negotiations. And sometimes it went their way, and sometimes it didn't. Like, just go back and look at history and with the Steelers and Franco Harris. And, you know, he was a beloved figure. Steelers took a hard line. That didn't work out. We don't know where this one is going to go. I will say one thing about a potential hold-in, Mark. You know, for Alex, he can make a statement. He could very well know he's not going to get extended during training camp, but he can make a statement, number one. Number two, he's a guy who has dealt with soft tissue injuries throughout his career. He could say, okay, I'm not going to practice. I am going to be in shape when the season gets here, but I am not going to put myself in harm's way. So when that contract extension talk does come up next year at this time, that he's dealing with any, oh, Alex only played 13 games. Oh, Alex only played 11 games. He could safeguard himself in that way. And I honestly don't know if the Steelers would hold that against them, given everything that's transpired here within the last week. And, you know, they're paying Nick Herbig the sum.
I could tell you who would hold against them. We've got prime example of it from last year. People hated Cam Hayward for what he did.
Business. It's business.
It's business.
I know, but the fans don't see it that way. And I would bet if you give Cam Hayward truth serum from last year and he would tell you the truth, he would probably say, yeah, I probably shouldn't have did what I did because it hurt my reputation just a little bit. So I just don't know. If you're not making an exception for TJ Watt last year or 2 years ago, you're not making an exception for Alex, but I understand where you could say him sitting out. Still, just knowing Alex, I think you have a better chance of him getting traded than him holding in. That's just my personal opinion.
Do you think there is an actual chance there?
No, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it. No,
you wouldn't do it, but is it possible?
Man, just talking to this guy forever, I can't see him going up to Omar or Art Rooney's office and saying, pay me or I'm done. You know, I just can't see that guy doing it. Like you said, business is business. But I could see if this was the final year of his deal and he wanted to get it done. He knows there's no way to get a raise. There's no way.
Can we all agree, though, that it has to be uncomfortable for Alex being in that locker room right now, given what happened? And just, we all know, you know, that he's a team guy. He's a locker room guy. But when something like that happens, and he can make the decision for it not to affect the team and not to affect relationships within that locker room, but it's something he's going to have to get over himself. That's a mental hurdle within himself that he's going to have to get over. I would imagine just knowing the fact that Herbig got that deal has to grate at him a little bit, guys. And I understand the economics of the NFL, how the cap goes up every single year. I get that, but it's still a bottom line number. And I think I said it on the show last week, I cannot ever remember this happening with another Steelers starter where they were paying a backup more. And I don't know that it's ever happened with all that much frequency across the NFL. Somebody might be able to bring up an instance or two, but I just don't think it happens very often.
I don't think it. I've never – I mean, I'm obviously much newer to all this, but I – don't remember this happening ever. And look, at the end of the day, Alex Highsmith is a guy that is worth more money, but it's just a matter of, is he willing to listen? Which maybe that's the part that, like, yes, it's awkward and there's that hurdle that you have to get over, but maybe conversations are very straightforward of like, Alex, look, we're going to negotiate in a year and the goal is to keep you around. Like, yeah, that's the long-term goal. And maybe they're just, okay, you know, it's one weird year and then I'm compensated well. And because he's going to get paid more than $25 million. At least that would be my guess, is he surpasses Herbig barely, but surpasses Herbig. And, you know, it's a shorter deal that just makes him look good with the rest of the cap space.
Well, he's a very good player. I would want him around. There's no doubt about that. But I honestly believe that he might be a little bit unsure of his future, as in, do the Steelers want to trade me? I don't want traded. Or the Steelers doing this now might be looking to shop me a little bit. That's probably going through his head a little bit, which I think would be crazy again. But
here's the thing there, though. Is Jack Sawyer reliable enough right now to start five games, if not more? Because think about how many – what did Herbig start last year? Seven? Like, you're saying T.J. Watt and Nick Herbig aren't – minimum seven games that Jack Sawyer's got to start in 2026 if Alex Highsmith's gone.
He looks different to me. I don't know about you guys. He looks like he got bigger, stronger, faster, Sawyer. Doesn't he? I mean, is that just me just looking at him? So what I'm saying is maybe he is ready, but you won't know that. You have to take a gamble.
You do have to take a gamble.
He was around the ball a lot last year, but that's the one thing we haven't talked about yet. Like, he's kind of the lost guy in all of this, right? Like, where does his playing time come in? Does he see any more playing time this year than he did as a rookie? I mean, given what they're paying these guys, unless there's an injury, I don't know how you squeeze that many snaps out of them.
One, two, and three got injured last year, didn't they?
Yeah, maybe that's why they're doing this.
And that's exactly my thought, is none of these guys are reliable to play 16 games, which I don't think you should expect them to. You know, maybe they miss more than they should, but you want them to. But I think you need depth. With the rest of the cap space, $3 million. Joey Porter Jr. is the name to watch. Cam Hayward, if you haven't checked his Twitter, tweeted out some anime thing yesterday. The last time he did that, Nick Herbig signed. So just saying, maybe Cam knows something.
Wait a second here, Noah. You're talking two old farts here. We don't know what anime is. I have no idea what anime.
He tweeted out a Pokemon picture. You know Pokemon. Everybody knows.
Well, you know what, Cam? If you're watching this, you're not a spring chicken, so you shouldn't be watching anime. All
right. With that extra money, it kind of feels as if Keanu Benton is coming before Joey Porter Jr. I don't know if there's anything to suggest that there's fact behind that. It just kind of feels like it's a consensus that everybody has the same, like, kind of hunch that this is going to happen. I see it happening. Yep. I have two questions for you guys. What's the number, and is it more likely, or are we overreacting to, I guess, the hunch that it's Keanu first?
I think it is going to be Keanu first, because I think Joey's going to be way late. He might be, the Saturday before the game late, I think. Oh, he could be sometime in training camp. But did you happen to take a look at Spoke Track, whatever they call that site's market value on Benton? I almost fell off my chair. $26 million a year.
Okay. Okay. What's a real number? If you told me $15 million, which is what I expect it to be.
A little bit too much.
I'm down. I'm still down. I still think you're overpaying for him. Yeah. But that's what I expect. 26? What does Cam make?
And 10, 12? No, I don't know. They change it constantly. They got money, man. They're going to restructure Metcalf. That's a no-brainer.
Yeah, they have TJ, too. They could restructure TJ as well. Yeah,
could you imagine that? That would go over well in the city.
See, the number with Benton, really, that's a tough one for me, because – you guys heard Doma Petko speak a week or two ago. He kind of telegraphed that YA Black is eventually going to be their nose guard. So
there's a novel idea.
Yeah. So I don't know when that happens. Does that happen by week one? If that happens by week one, what is Keanu Benton's role on this football team? I know he's going to play a lot but he's not going to start in front of Cam, and he's not going to start in front of Derek Harmon. So you could find a way to get him 60% of the snaps just because you could play him in base and sub, you know, when you mix a match there. But, you know, to pay a guy who might not be a starter that kind of money, and I get it, you know, Cam eventually is going to step aside. We don't know
when it's going to be.
So he's got 2 years left on his contract. Now, I know none of it's guaranteed. I get that. But as long as Cam Hayward is still playing well, Keanu Benton might be in the back end a little bit. So you're right. The number might be 15. But to me, 15, even 15, seems a little bit high for somebody with his career stats and with his role still to be determined.
Yeah, and they just did it with Herbig, though, paying a backup
for the future, right? But I was going to say, maybe. Do you pay two backups? Do you pay two backups starter money?
Don't we complain constantly about they were too late about TJ Watt? They waited and they had to pay him more. So if you're assuming Watt or Highsmith's gone next year, you get Herbig locked up for a cheaper amount. It's cheap money, honestly. Let's face it. And the same thing with Washington. Same thing with Benton.
And
if he's going to replace Cam Hayward as early as next year, you can get him for pretty cheap for doing that if he can make that transition.
Yeah, but when is that going to happen?
Next
year. You know what I mean? Is it next year, though? Like, is Cam really going
to one year thing here,
pro again? He's not retiring if they make it. If the Steelers make it to the AFC Championship game, I even think divisional round, and Cam looks good again, there we all know he's coming back for another season. He's not even like close to retirement, it feels like.
Rodgers is gone next year. Rudolph's gone next year. Queen's gone next year. Ramsey's gone.
You just named Mason Rudolph in important players that are leaving.
I'm just telling you players that are going to be gone, right?
It's $4 million a year, so.
Yeah.
Easy. Who am I missing? There's other people who are going to be gone, too. Big-time players, right? So I think they are looking at it as a one-shot trick here, baby. Let's go for it. If we fail, we go 6-11. You see, you, and you. And we got these other guys can fill in it cheaper.
For sure. But what if they go 10-7? And they make the playoffs again. Like, you're not going to rebuild. Art Rooney said it himself. He doesn't like the word rebuild. That's not something that he wants to do.
Guys like Queen's gone. Guys like Ramsey's going to be gone. Ramsey's the eighth highest paid freaking corner in the league.
But that's what I mean. Oh, you're talking salary-wise. I thought you meant, like, give up on the project-wise. Because I think that's why you keep Cam. Or why they would keep Cam.
Yeah, I mean, you can get rid of Watt. You can get rid of Watt. What I'm saying is, if you get out in front of it, you pay cheaper now, right? Maybe that's what they're thinking with Benton. That's probably what they're thinking with Herbig.
Why are you convinced they're going to move on from Watt early?
I'm not convinced of that.
Yeah.
I'm not convinced.
One either. Or the other.
Are you not? Like, does that thought not even cross your mind?
I don't know. What would you do? I am so baffled of what I would do because I think Highsmith might be their best player. Right. Watt, I think, has a chance to still have a couple good years.
Right.
And of course, Herbig is just a wild card. You play him 1,000 snaps, he could have 19 sacks. What do you do?
I think that the risk of Watt or the possibility of Watt not returning to form this year or maybe like next year and then having to move on within the next 2 years is what they're preparing for more than anything. At least that's what I think.
Well, you have to keep Watt for a couple of years, or at least next year, too.
Yeah, you have to keep him for the next 2 years.
I think Watt bounces back in a big way this year. 13-15. What do you think?
No, I think it would be a disappointment if TJ wasn't around at least 12 sacks.
You know, yes.
Last year was, I would call it an outlier. And I know the ball was out quick, but I think even by his standards, he found ways in previous years not to let that happen. I would be surprised if he's not a 12-sack guy this year at the minimum.
Yeah, you have to play 17 games, unlike last year. Yeah. Stay away from those dry needlings.
Wow. Forgot that happened. You forget the
– Yeah, then he came back and was a shell of himself, right? So.
Yeah, he wasn't – but also, he made it very known, like, Patrick Graham's defense is different. Also, could I ask you guys this question? I'm not making a big deal out of this. I promise. I'm just acknowledging. He looks smaller, doesn't he?
Who?
TJ. When he spoke to the media the other day, he definitely looked smaller than usual. Yeah, this time of year.
I can tell you when people look bigger, so you might have to move on to Ray of
smaller. Again, you know, Roger Jones
is a lot smaller.
Roger Jones is very small.
That is true. Like, I hear people say that TJ's lost a step, and I think we all acknowledge how important that first step is for TJ and his entire game. His pass rushing repertoire is based on speed off the edge. The thing that I noticed about TJ last year, which I don't think I've noticed as much in previous years, he was getting blocked one-on-one more than usual. He was stuck on blocks. And even if you're a left tackle and you can – or a right tackle, whatever the case may be. If you're a tackle and you could just stick on your block for a second and a half with TJ, and you don't have to commit that tight end or that fullback or that extra blocker on him, that makes a world of difference. So I did notice that a little bit more last year. Like, the bull rush was never a big part of his game. That's not who he is. But I did notice that a little bit more. So everyone's talking about the first step. So maybe it does make sense. Maybe if he's trying to, you know, get a little bit lighter and get back to, you know, getting that quick twitch off the edge, which made him, you know, so successful for the first what?
That's what I was thinking too. I'm not trying to make a big deal out of it, but I think it needed to be acknowledged that
you know what you just did there.
I know, and I don't like that I did it, but it also needed to be talked about. Noah
that said that. That's my remark.
I'll take that L, and hopefully, you know, we have a constructive conversation that leads to a nice story.
Although the bloggers don't like you, so maybe that will just...
That is true. That is gone from the ether immediately. Immediately.
All right. Ray, though. I like them, too.
I like them, too. All right. Let's finish off our agenda here with some OTA winners. The Steelers have one more OTA practice on Thursday, but we won't talk until next Tuesday. We're four weeks of this by now, including minicamp when everybody's there. We've had some big moments. We've had some 70-yard bombs from Aaron Rodgers, and we've had some pretty ginormous contracts. So it's pretty eventful OTAs for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Who are your guys' biggest winners leaving UPMC Rooney Sports Complex for the last time?
I'm a big Aaron Rodgers guy just because he showed up. Because you know what? Lamar Jackson didn't show up. Joe Burrow missed some time. Justin Herbert missed some time. So Aaron Rodgers was there every time he needed to, which leads us to believe that this was just all nonsense, but of him being here on time. But, you know, guys that I like, that they're hard to pick sticking out in this situation, but a guy you could tell who's going to be good is Brisker. I mean, I thought he
did. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, you could just tell. He's first of all, he has something to prove. Only getting $5.5 million. He's coming home. He chose to come here for less money, and he can play a multitude of positions that can help this defense out immensely. So, plus he helps Jalen Ramsey. You can see him out there. He knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
So I liked him a lot. Him, you know, the other safety, I keep saying Castro. I thought he was pretty good too for being a lower level roster guy.
Me too. I think Castro, I mean, Brisker, I definitely agree with. I think Brisker's been very impressive. His attitude on the field, the way he goes about his business is very, it's almost too natural. It's not, yeah, let's. But he just immediately fit in. Like, he immediately, it's almost as if he's been here and worked with these coaches. That's, I think the other part of that. Castro, to me, I don't know what Darnell Savage could do. I was shocked he showed up, to be really honest with you. I'm very excited to see Sebastian Castro versus Darnell Savage because I think Castro is going to give himself a shot to actually.
Dante Kent's in the mix somewhere in that back half of the defense.
I mean, he's got to practice first. He hasn't practiced yet.
He could be very good, though, if he gets that little thing of called injuries out of the way.
Yeah.
They got a lot of safeties, don't they? I'll tell you the one thing I noticed about Brisker, and you know, Deshaun Elliott is known as a tough guy, hard hitter. Brisker is bigger than him, and it's going to be interesting to see how they deploy those guys, because I really think like Brisker can play the Deshaun Elliott role. I don't know that Deshaun Elliott can play the free safety role, but we know Patrick Graham is going to, you know, mix things up a little bit. I think the secondary is going to be interesting to watch this summer. My big winner from the last month of practices, how about Omar Khan?
He's been on fire.
You
start off with the Broderick Jones news right after the draft. Your number one pick from the 2023 class. You're not going to pick up his option. And then boom, 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 you start signing all these other guys from the 23 class. It's impressive. That first draft of his, regardless of what happens with Broderick Jones in the future, and I don't know that it's going to turn out well. You know, keep your fingers crossed for Jones that he can bounce back and start practicing here soon. But that entire draft class is looking really, really strong. Even if they don't re-sign Benton and he walks, he's going to bring you a nice little comp pick. So he's done a really nice job. So kudos to Omar and Andy for getting that 23 draft class right. And like McCarthy says, you want to sign these guys to second contracts. That's the foundation of your football thing. You know you're doing things right when you re-sign guys. So I see Omar as a big winner here in May and June.
What about the money, though, too? The way he's been able to structure these contracts to get them in under the cap where they didn't seem like they would have a ton of money. Yep. I mean, he's been doing it for years, but to be able to get Washington, you know, all the guys signed under contract with two more left, and it doesn't seem like it might be a problem, at least for Porter. Man, first of all, they're spending a ton of money. They're not spending a ton of money maybe on the airplane to Ireland or the toilets in the facility, but they're spending on the players, man. They're going right up and past the cap. That cap does not exist.
No, cap does not exist. No way. I'll piggyback off that one, and I'll go Mike McCarthy as well. I'll toss Mike McCarthy out there. I think McCarthy's practices have been very impressive, the amount of detail in them. And then on top of that, like, you brought a whole new culture to Pittsburgh that seems to fit pretty immediately and blend really well with what the Pittsburgh Steelers already did and the way they went about things. Like, it does, everything seems so different, but nothing feels weird. You know what I mean? It was such a smooth transition. And then on top of that, to go off of the contracts, how about a new head coach coming in here and saying, yeah, sign the whole draft class. That sounds great. I'm not going to bring in my own guys. Yeah, I'll bring in my Darnell Savage and my Brock Hoffman and my Rico Dowdle. But, you know, let's make the stars, which are the second-year guys that you drafted several years ago. I mean, that doesn't happen very often. Most guys want their own guys. McCarthy's building off the ones already here. I think that's impressive. And then I think my other winner is Aaron Rodgers because
– piggybacking off of me.
Yeah, that guy looks great. To be honest, like, it's crazy how many passes over the last 3 weeks he's thrown that you've just gone like, Aaron Rodgers could still throw the football, huh? That's pretty crazy that he could still do that.
He only holds the ball for 2.4 seconds or whatever, so he stinks.
Stinks.
I heard one thing about McCarthy's practice. I think the word you were looking for was very structured for this time of year, man. I mean, it's like they're in – you know, the last week of training camp, getting ready to play the Falcons is how it seems like to me in some of these practices. No stones being left unturned. I mean, for goodness sakes, I heard one of the coaches saying, TV timeout, TV timeout, everybody over here. I was like, what? I mean, what are we doing here? I mean, very structured. Everything's being covered.
And one more point about McCarthy. I don't think TJ Watt meant anything by this. In terms like being a slight to Mike Tomlin. But did you hear him say last week, well, there's no more benches out there anymore? Like,
yes.
Like, if you were at practice the last couple of years, when you weren't on the field, your butt was on a bench and you were taking a blow. Now you got to stand. I mean, it's a different atmosphere. And I think it might be good. So,
yeah.
Do you think if they had a younger coach, Shieldhouse, whoever it could be, would have been able to pull that off. I don't think he could.
No. Cam and TJ are dragging the benches out there, putting them down. I don't know what you're talking about here, pal.
Yeah.
No chance.
In general.
You're 33.
Well, yeah. Go hang out with Will Howard, buddy. We're gonna bring the benches here.
I'm not going to Kenny. What are you, crazy?
could you imagine Shieldhouse trying to taking a Pittsburgh Steelers team to Kennywood and just hanging out with Cam Hayward and TJ Watt?
Not really him either. I mean, what was the other guy's name?
Shula. At least Shula was 40. Shieldhouse was like 33, 34.
I think for this roster, he probably was the perfect coach.
He was.
You need somebody like this to come in here. I wasn't anticipating Mike McCarthy being this. I thought, you know, everything you hear from him, you know, he's failed. He hasn't won the big games. Man, that's not because of preparation. I think that guy is really, really on his screws.
Yeah, I agree. All right. With that said, that's everything on our agenda. We're going to start answering all your guys' questions, so toss them in the chat. We'll get to as many of them as we can. But first, we got a word from our boys over at Prize Picks, America's number one sports picks app and the best place to win cash while watching sports. It's easy. Just pick your players, set your lineups, and watch. You'll pick more or less on individual stats for each player, or you'll pick winner spreads or totals on any major game. And Prize Picks operates in most states, including California, Texas, and Florida. Switched it up a little bit this week, going with a little Jahmyr Gibbs over 1,199.5 rushing yards, and Ashton Jeanty over 7.5 rushing touchdowns.
I like Jahmyr Gibbs. They got rid of – was that an anime thing too?
Yes. David Montgomery, yes, the anime guy, yes.
I like him. I still don't think he's the best running back in the league. I think the Steelers will see him week one, but I think the Lions will have a big bounce back season. I think he'll be – the reason why, one of the reasons why. So I think, yes, 1,200 yards rushing for him.
1,200.
Yep.
1,200 is still a big number. They're probably going to have a number two. It's not going to be the number two that Montgomery was. So if I had to choose, I'd probably go Jeanty over if I had to choose between those two.
Ooh, yeah. Jeanty over to 7.
Jeanty over 7.5. That's all right.
Joe Flacco be handing the ball to him. No, Flacco. Does he play there? I don't even know. Oh, Kirk Cousins.
Kirk Cousins.
No difference.
Mendoza.
Steelers Plan B, Kirk Cousins. Shout out. Using our promo code HMA or by clicking the link below, new users who play $5 get $50 in lineups. Just download the app using the promo code and the link. Can't wait to hear your lineups. All right. Shout out to all of our subscribers. Hit that subscribe button before we get going. We're making our way to 1,000. It would be awesome to hit 1,000 by episode 5. I feel like that. Is this episode 3?
Four.
That's episode 5. Let's go. It's a big 5-0. You know what I mean? Let's make it happen. Hit that like and subscribe button. Let's get things kicking with Maddie. Which team would you send Highsmith to, and what comp would you – oh, what compensation would you want from it, player or draft pick?
Ray, you can have this because I'm not trading him. I'm not trading him. I'm just not trading him.
I have a team. I have a team.
I'm not advocating it, but if I would do it, I would definitely make it an NFC team.
Carolina.
And in terms of what I would want back, you know, they couldn't game the comp pick formula like they did last year, so I'd probably try to get as many draft picks as I can for that future quarterback that they need.
Would you go a 2 or would you go a 3, 4, and like a 6?
No, I'd hold out for a 2. I think Alex Highsmith is a really good player, and if I had to deal him, which – I'm not advocating again, but if I had to, I'd hold out for a 2.
Yeah. Where are you going, Carolina?
No. San Francisco. Ooh. I'm calling San Francisco. Makes a ton of sense in San Francisco. They need an edge rusher. They're willing to pay because they're in like a win now, got to win a Super Bowl mode. Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch got to feel the heat that they haven't won one yet. I'm going.
Okay, I got it. Alex Highsmith for Mac Jones straight up.
Oh, I don't like it. I don't like it at all. I don't like it at all. I think they would consider it, but I don't like it. Mac Jones in a 3rd.
Alex Highsmith was defense team MVP last year. Sorry.
He's the best defensive player on the team. Maybe besides Cam Hayward. One of the two.
Isn't Mac Jones a slightly better version of Kenny Pickett?
No. Slightly better version of Will Howard.
Look where he came from. He's in the old Shanahan tree. That's why, Ray.
He's got normal size hands though, so it's fine. Renegade Mango.
North end.
Yeah. Watt publicly congratulated Herbig on his contract. Would that create any issues in the locker room or with Highsmith, or just the right thing to do?
That's his guy. I mean, her. We know the story. Those guys have been friends since before Nick was drafted here. Like he and TJ were collaborating. You know, when he was a senior in college. So yeah, there's nothing to that.
Yeah. Plus, you know, we're talking about players here in that locker room. Everybody wants everybody to get paid. Not to mention the guy that Herbig looks up to Watt and was DMing him in high school, I believe, saying, "Hey, how can I," whatever it was, college, whatever it was. Now he works out with him in the offseason. Of course he's going to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think it was any issue whatsoever. And I'm sure, I think Highsmith tweeted something too, or posted something on Instagram, like earned it. So was it everybody's going to congratulate everybody. Anime? It's not, Highsmith doesn't want Herbig to make less money. He just wants to make more money. That's what it would be. David, if you trade Highsmith, are you really all in for Rodgers last year? I say no, because the team immediately gets worse. Great point. Great. It's the most important position on your defense. If you make it worse, especially with Alex Highsmith, you didn't just trade, as crazy as it sounds, like Nick Herbig. You know, you trade Nick Herbig, you're like, all right, you know, that's not good. But you get rid of Alex Highsmith, you're like, that's a pretty big blow for who's out there and their productivity. So, I agree with this.
Once they made the decision to bring in Aaron Rodgers back, which was probably in March, they're all in on this year. So you do everything to win this year. And winning this year is keeping guys like Highsmith.
And sometimes the best qualities of a coach is you're also a part-time psychologist. So whether it's Mike McCarthy or Patrick Graham or the new outside linebackers coach, maybe you just have to massage his ego or just get him in the right frame of mind when he gets through the season, right? You know,
does he want to be the one guy in the locker room that's creating a little bit of a stir? I can't see it with him.
I'm just saying get his mind right. I'm not even saying he has like a big ego. Just keep him laser focused on the season. Let the financial aspect of it play out in the, you know, March of 2027 and just go from there.
Yeah. Yeah. Maddie, do you think Wilson and Bernard could be the future of the wide receiver room? Roman Wilson, is he going to be – does Roman have any chance of getting a second contract in Pittsburgh? Is it already over? I think Roman could contribute to the offense this year, and I think he's looked pretty decent so far.
He could be in a big way this year, right?
But he'd have to – like, he would have to ball out. It would have to be like, oh, you're letting go of something really good.
Especially when you got the other three locked up for the next, 3 years at least, 4 years?
Yeah, next year you have to sign Troy and Zach and potentially Mason.
Like I said, you already got Pittman and Metcalf, and you already could tell Bernard's going to be a good player.
Yes.
Yeah.
Even if he does ball out Roman Wilson, which I guess he could.
He could.
You're probably not going to extend him.
No, I mean, Pittman has 3 years left, right? Metcalf, 3 or 4 left?
Yeah, it's 4 left, including this year. Then you got 4 for the rookie, or at least 3 with him before.
I mean, yeah. I mean, listen, Roman Wilson, he can play great, but you're probably just going to draft his replacement in the next year or two.
Yeah, I agree. KGK is for life. If you're Omar and you don't take a quarterback in the first round of the NFL draft, I'm guessing next year, what position / player would you take in round 1? Player's tough. What position would you be looking for if it's not a quarterback next year?
Ray's the draft expert. He's already breaking down next year's draft.
Are you really?
That's a negative, Noah.
I was, whoo. You got me there for a minute.
He ain't no fireball, but he's a guru.
I would say definitely not offensive line.
Not even a right guard.
Listen, they could go
running back.
They could go inside linebacker, but inside linebackers aren't really first rounders anymore. You got to be a great player. Maybe you would go corner. You know, Jamel.
Yeah, but you have Dalen Everett.
Yeah,
he has about as much professional snaps as all three of us combined.
I agree with that.
We can hold back a little bit on him.
You didn't draft him in the third round.
Yeah.
to say, you know, you're just going to be a career backup.
Well, third round pick. Cajun Weechin was in the fourth round.
Now, he's going to be a starter, okay, every year as a kick returner.
With four plays a game.
Yes, and I don't agree with it, but that's what's going to happen. Yes.
I'm thinking defensive line, maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, Benton Walk, if Hayward 39, 52.
Yeah, Benton walks. If Benton walks. Yeah, I agree with that one. I think inside linebacker could be the move, too. Safety. Why not safety? Jaquan Brisker is here now.
Right.
Who knows what's going to happen next year? Could be safety.
I just don't like first round safeties. I mean, first round inside linebackers, unless you're elite.
Unless you're elite. Yeah, you got to be really good. I agree with that. You're not just going to take one. Yeah. But I think at the end of the day, it's probably going to be quarterback.
Maybe running back.
Would you go running back or inside linebacker? What's a worse pick?
You give me a guy like Jamil, whatever his name is, Gibbs. Or somebody like Bijan.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
You're going to end up with the 21st pick in the draft, which is neither of them. You're drafting Travis Etienne or Najee Harris.
Man. Draft talk in June. I better brush up on the mock drafts here before next week's show, guys.
They can draft the Cincinnati quarterback now next year.
Shout out to Brendan Sorsby. Steelers, biggest winner of that one. 100%. They now get another quarterback option, but that's a whole other podcast, boys. It's a whole other podcast. USA Citizen, is this how Bill Cowher held practices? Would either of you know that?
Oh, man, Bill Cowher came in. You know what? OTAs weren't really much of a thing. If you would know how OTAs worked back then, Cowher would go up into the second level of the deck, watch it for 2 minutes, and go golfing. It was a little different back then of OTAs. That's more of a last 10, 15 years phenomenon. So as a practice, regular practices, I don't really recall. I don't think so, no.
Shoot, I go back to when there were still, before all this CBA stuff, they still had two-a-days up in Latrobe.
That was miserable.
What was that? Did you ever see your family?
Like that? You know, you spend a long night at Dino, then you have to roll out of bed at 9 o'clock and certainly smell like a brewery. It's like, dude, move away from me.
Dude, that's awful. That's so bad. Wish I experienced it one time, but after one time, I'm good forever.
And one more point about Tomlin. We should go back to this. His first year here, he was a stickler. I mean, he held hard practices. I think, Mark, was it Troy who had to go to him and say, hey, you got to lighten up a little bit? And then by year two, the year they won the Super Bowl, he kind of backed off. But he did what McCarthy is doing now. He kind of set the tone of being a hard ass and then kind of let off the pedal after that.
The problem is that year they were worn out by Jacksonville playoff game, and MJD just ran them to shreds. He ground them to a nub. Now, he can grind these guys to a nub right around, depending on which ones they are. You better leave some of your star players.
I was going to say, there's no need.
Tomlin was a first-year coach. He only coached defense 1 year. He needed to prove a point. Like a Shieldhouse, boy, he's getting some strays. He would have had to prove a point.
McCarthy, dude, you are battering Shieldhouse today.
McCarthy doesn't have to prove anything. Say, look at my resume. I'm the 15th winningest coach in all-time history, you know. Yeah. Okay, maybe I got a Super Bowl win. Maybe I didn't do as well in the playoffs as I should have sometimes, but all coaches are like that, except Belichick. But, Belichick lost 3 or 4 Super Bowls.
I was going to say, Belichick's not, you know, I'm not downplaying Belichick, but let's not act like every coach doesn't go through that slump. Yeah, no, I think that's definitely a piece of it is, hey, I'm here and I have to establish this culture and, you know, maybe we're not blowing the whistle to let coaches onto practice come week 6. You know, maybe that all calms down. Poke Salad, can I get an answer on that? Weechin is a returner, punt and kickoff. Why are we saying only 4 shots per game?
How many punts are returned? They're all.
Yeah, I was going to say you don't want. I mean, you won't.
They're all there. It's fair catch, and probably I don't know what the numbers are, but I would imagine the majority of the kickoffs are out of the end zone. So 4 plays where he actually runs the ball, I think would be on the high end.
Marvin Mims. So Khalif Raymond had 32 punt returns last year, which led the league. So divided by 17, 1.8. So yeah, you're right about four.
It's not, I mean, they'll get
unless you're giving up 28 points a game, and then it's more. But you're going to hope that's not the case.
Unless they, you know, decide to let these guys kick return more rather than kick it out of the end zone, you're just not going to have enough opportunities. Nothing gets Wiegand. I'm just saying he's not going to play a lot.
No, yeah, I agree. I don't think you want. I mean, punts would be nice, but even if you're averaging three punts a game, he's you know,
good man. They get hang time, directional, and you have no choice but the fair catch.
Yeah. It's a different game for sure.
Hey, listen, with these kickoffs, Noah, it's not predictable like the old kickoffs. You could be feeling a squib, like the return you had on could be off by the time you feel the ball. It could be one with huge hang time, and it can you know the return will be off. You just have to get it upfield as much as possible. So it's such a different play than the old kickoff that, you know, again, there's value in returners, but, you know, fourth round, I don't know.
Yeah. Maddie.
They thought somebody else was going to take him, so that's why they took him.
Yeah, they were the only team that even talked to him. So, yeah, shut up. Maddie, do we think Dalen Everett makes an impact in his first year? Which other rooks make an impact year one? Jeremy Bernard is the other one. I would say that's a definite.
And Kate Meacham, leader in the clubhouse, right? I would say Hunter Shore has a chance.
Maybe I think he does.
Maybe a month in. I don't know about right away, but I could see him doing the Broderick Jones week six type of situation. Or if he shows out in training camp, maybe he is your starting right tackle. I'm not giving up on that yet.
Hey, listen, Everett was impressive early on in this spring practice period. They gave him a lot of opportunities against a lot of really good players. Sometimes it didn't work out for him, but that's what you want. Like, if you're this, you know, third round pick coming in, I would want to be covering DK Metcalf and Michael Pittman. Okay, I screwed up that rep, but what do I have to work on? So I love that the Steelers coaches did that. It wasn't all great, but now he has, you know, some stuff to improve on before training camp. So I thought that was a win-win for both Everett and the coaching staff.
Me too. And I liked the faith that they put into him with that, because to me, I think Dalen Everett was a guy that you were overlooking going into OTAs. You were just going, yeah, you know, they have Asante Samuel Jr. and Brandon Echols and Jalen Ramsey. Dalen Everett's not going to play this season. And then you went in there and you're, all right, they're going to really give him an opportunity to prove himself. And that's what you want to see. That's what you want to see out of a third round pick. So yeah, Dalen was impressive at moments, but again, we'll see when he gets to training camp and there's pads on and DK, you know, hits you at the line of scrimmage. How do you react? I think that'll be different. Liquid Cyber, who's going to be the number two behind Aaron Rodgers? A classic Mark Caboli question.
I was thinking if I had any sort of pictures of Mason Rudolph hanging around. I don't. I do got Andrew McCutcheon bobblehead, so we could say this is Mason Rudolph.
This just looks just like him.
Yeah, it looks just like him. It's Mason! Come on. I mean, I will die on this grave. They should keep all four. Whoever said that I said Will Howard should be traded just made that up. I never said that. I think this is a perfect season to bite the bullet, keep four. They're not going to because they don't do it. Keep four because it's a unique situation. You got two veterans who are not going to be here next year and two rookies you're trying to bring along. Keep four. Screw it. I think Mason will be number. Back to our original point. If you're going to win right now, I want Mason to come in for two games and not Will Howard. I'm sorry. Not this year.
I think they want it to be Will Howard, but they got to let the process play out. And listen, Mason is a nice fallback option. You know exactly what you have in him. But again, I'm going to bring this up again. Mike McCarthy has gone with younger backups before. Don't be surprised if he does it again. That's all I'm going to say.
Everything that they've done this offseason. That's why I can't wrap my head around it.
I agree, but all Will's got to do, and this is really the reason I look at it like this, is all Will has to do is have one, like, very impressive preseason game, which could happen. I'm not saying it's going to happen, But we've all seen that happen. We've all seen somebody go out, Skylar Thompson go out there and look ridiculous. And next thing you know, Will Howard's on IR for 6 weeks because Skylar Thompson's got to make the roster. Like, we've all seen it happen. All Will's got to do is have that one, like, ooh, that was really good. And then there's the argument that they'll use to give him the job. So,
yeah, you did want to keep Skylar Thompson last year, right?
They did.
What are we doing here? I mean, chill out a little bit with the Skylar Thompson talk.
Yeah, I agree.
It was all downhill after Dublin.
Where is he at? Is he back in Miami? He signed somewhere.
Yeah, he's somewhere. I don't know where he is, but he signed.
Shout out to Skylar Thompson, dude. Hope he got his watch back. Maddie, do they extend Brisker midseason if he plays well?
They never have done that ever. No.
Well, they tried to in like 1993, and that was a disaster, and that's why the role is what it is.
Yeah.
Did you guys hear? Maybe I just, you know, heard something that because I dug into it a little bit, but like was not enough to say anything. Did you guys hear any rumbles at all that they were considering negotiating last year with Joey and Nick during the season? No, nothing at all.
I did not.
See, that's goes back to the old man, Dan Rooney, right? And there's some things that I think were untouchable. A lot of things have changed since Omar and that regime's taken over. Something tells me that's going to be in place forever. Because if you look back at some of the series of 93, I mean, you had some issues of people who were getting in season, wanting contracts, saying, why is he getting one? I'm not getting one. Even guys like, what's his name? It was the coach at the Steelers. Linebacker coach, help me out here.
Linebacker coach. Aaron Glenn.
No, the
linebacker. Oh, not with the Steelers.
He left. He
played with the Steelers.
Played at Pitt. Linebacker coach at the Steelers. What was his name? Why am I forgetting this?
Wolfowski?
Yes, Jerry O was one of them. Was complaining about not getting paid. I think it was who was it? Was it the backup tight end? What was his name?
Adrian Cooper.
There you go. And it was just a disaster. I'm terrible. Man. And it was a there, and that he said no more in season. That's why it is. And I don't think it will change.
Adrian Cooper was a pretty good player. I will say that.
I have no idea who that is, but I'm going to look him up.
He's a big tight end. He can rumble through the middle of the field.
So I'll spend my evening.
Look him up.
Good old Adrian Cooper highlights as we get off here. Now let's end it with this one, David. Who has a better chance to start, Max or the mullet? Do you guys think they try to avoid starting two rookies? Good questions. To me, I think going into OTAs, Jennings Dunker was a guy that I was like, oh, he's going to end up starting. I just feel like he's going to be the guy. And leaving OTAs, I'm like, he never moved up. You never did. Max was sprinkled in once in a while, but Jennings didn't do anything. And maybe that'll change during OTAs, but I really think that they're dead set on Spencer, and Max has a chance just because he's a first round pick more than Jennings Dunker does this season.
I mean, we can't count out Brock Hoffman too.
You can't, yeah, and Brock Hoffman. I think Brock will get some opportunity, but they're like, that's what I mean. It kind of feels
he's a mean SOB, Brock Hoffman. He has obviously history with McCarthy, and plays that position. He's played that position last year, year before. Yeah. I don't know why the Cowboys didn't keep him, but he's a potential. I don't think either one of them really are going to start. But I think, like I said before, I think Yohannes Torres has a better chance of getting in there before Dunker. I think Dunker is more of a red shirt to me, as what I see right now, which is impossible to tell. So I'm speaking on both sides of my mouth. We'll see in August 2nd when they put the pads on. Where does he fit in then? Is he overwhelmed? Is he not overwhelmed? Is he missing the assignments? Is he not? Offensive line, you just have to wait.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, listen, I think Spencer Anderson has been more than serviceable when he's been called upon in different roles, both as a starter at guard and, you know, extra tackle. Dylan Cook, I thought, was really good at times late last season when he got to start. But the fact of the matter is, guys, you're talking about an undrafted free agent in a seventh-round draft pick, and you drafted a Yonator first and Jennings Dunker in the third round. Eventually, those guys are going to play. It's just a matter of when. Yeah. I tend to think I'm with you guys. It's going to be slow developing, but at some point, those guys are going to pass him.
Yeah, you know, it's not with this regime, but you look, they've had a lot of success with late undrafted tackles, offensive linemen, with Villanueva. Calvin Beecham was, what, a 7C? He might still be playing in the league. Ramon Foster, just off the top of my head, just over the past couple of years, if they've had been able to find success with those guys. So maybe Dylan Cook is in the right place, but that it seems like that's one position. If you get enough time to develop, you can stay 2 or 3 years. Then finally, all of a sudden, he shows up. You know?
Yes. Okay. Yes. I feel like offensive line is the one. Like, it doesn't. It matters. Obviously, there's always the political side of the NFL, and where you were drafted counts. I think offensive line is the one where you could sneak in there, and if you're good enough, they're going to recognize that and be like, "Oh, we got a guy." You know, we don't, because it's the one position that you just don't want to mess with, or positions you don't want to mess with. If they're good, stop. Just let them go. Just let them be good.
Think about how Dylan Cook's outlook on the season changed when that whole Mekhi Lemon thing happened. Like, we'd be talking about him. You know, Broderick Jones still hasn't started yet, right? Dylan Cook is your starter. Now it's a whole different conversation. He's not even, you know, we've barely mentioned his name in the last 4 weeks.
Yeah. Honestly, that's probably the best thing to ever happen to the Steelers.
Agreed. Definitely.
You're probably getting a better tackle, and you all of a sudden you're seeing what Jeremy Bernard can do.
Yep.
I mean, let's see if he can transfer that into the season. I don't know if Bernard's going to be much worse than Mekhi Lemon. I'm sorry.
No, I was very, very high on Jeremy Bernard coming out of Alabama. That kid is very overlooked, I think.
Advanced for his age and ability, or his
yes.
Year. He's one guy who will not redshirt. I feel comfortable saying that on, what, June 9th? Yeah.
Yes, me too. Me too.
Until he takes that jet sweep.
Never do that ever again. Right at the goal line. Terrible times. All right. With that said, we're heading out of here. Thank you guys so much for jumping on to another episode of Steelers Collective. Make sure to hit that like and subscribe button before you head out of here, and find all of our work at si.com/NFL/Steelers, the Pat McAfee Show, and PG.com and the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Do you guys still do paper every day, right? Every Sunday?
We still print Thursdays and Sundays, and we are online every single day.
There it is. All right. We'll be back next week. Until then, enjoy another day in the beautiful day in the burg. Peace.